A few years back, when John Javna and Company started the Ashland Food Project, they started counting how many pounds of food each drive collected. That project has grown throughout the Rogue Valley. This month, they reach a milestone, and we'll talk about that. John, welcome to the Exchange this morning.
Thank you very much, Milt.
Tomorrow's the pickup day. You do this six times a year, correct?
Right. You know, the food project is, which is, by the way, in five different locations, or it's actually seven locations in five different food projects. We have the Eagle Point Food Project, the Phoenix Food Project, Talent Food Project, Medford Food Project, which includes Jacksonville and Central Point, and, of course, the Ashland Food Project. So what we do is we give people green bags, the green reusable bags. I'm sure you've seen them around. You're part of that, aren't you?
I am.
Okay. So we give them green bags, and we suggest that people put, well, one thing in every week when they go to the supermarket, buy one extra bit of non-perishable food and something you'd want to share with a neighbor. Put it in the bag, and then every 2 months, on the second Saturday of every even month, one of the neighbors we call neighborhood coordinators, volunteers who organize their neighborhoods and do the pickups, come by, pick up the bag, leave an empty one for a replacement bag for the next time, and then take it to where our locations are generally food banks or food pantries in the designated towns, and then we start all over again. And now, tomorrow, after about 4.5 years of doing this, starting in Ashland with, I think we brought in maybe 3,000 pounds the first time. Tomorrow we'll hit 1 million pounds of food that we've collected one bag at a time.
Wow. That's a lot. I mean, that's a relatively short period of time.
Well, you know, and it's getting faster. Now, this year we brought in 330,000 pounds of food as a county. So maybe it'll take half the time next time around. And, you know, the food project has about 6,000 households participating, which makes us by far the largest volunteer organization in Jackson County, despite the fact that we have no paid staff, no executive directors, no headquarters, no overhead. It's all just done by volunteers who care a lot about feeding their neighbors.
If you have a question for John this morning on the Jefferson Exchange, you can reach us anywhere at 800-838-3760, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I wanted to ask you, it's obviously a good cause, but I wanted to ask you how you got started. What was the genesis of this whole project?
Well, it's one of those funny coincidences that makes you think, if you believe in that, that things are supposed to happen. I got an idea that it would be nice to be involved with feeding people, but I wasn't sure how to do it. And I've never been real fond of food drives, although they're very important and they supply a lot of food to our hungry neighbors. But I always felt a little impersonal. And I started thinking about what it is that would take for me to be involved in a food drive. And I decided really what it came down to is someone would have to come to my door, knock on it, and say, "Hi, I'm here for the food." And so I suggested that. I had a meeting with several people in Ashland, and we talked about it, and they thought that was a good idea. Now, simultaneously, across town, there's a fellow named Paul Giancarlo who had decided to teach his kids that they could have some power and help. And he took this little red wagon with his twin boys, and they went around their neighborhood and knocked on doors and did exactly what I was thinking about doing. And so in January 2009, when I had a meeting at my house with about 13 people to discuss this, someone said, "Hey, there's a guy across town doing it." And eventually we joined forces. You know, what he learned by going around in his neighborhood and getting some of his friends to do some pickups for him, and our vision for making this a real important part of the infrastructure of our community sort of merged. And in June 2009, we actually did our first pickup. And as I say, we picked up about 3,300 pounds of food, brought it to the Ashland Emergency Food Bank, and thought, you know, it was a great triumph. We said 3,300 pounds of food. Now on Saturdays, we bring in about 55 to 60,000 pounds of food in the county. And by the way, there are now 24 food projects around the country, and it's expanding.
Based on the model that you created?
Yes, based on the model that we created. There's another about 15 or 20 that are not based and that we had nothing to do with, but people saw what we were doing, and they just started created their own.
I was going to say, a key part of your program is actually recruiting people to be like neighborhood coordinators, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's how it expands. Tell me how that works.
Okay, so that's what's really unique about what we do. You know, there are of course people who knock on doors for various things, but the idea of having a person who's the liaison between neighbors, you know, people who live in a community, and the institutions that distribute the food is totally unique. And in, of course, it's a lot of work to find the people, but we're very fortunate. We have over 400 neighborhood coordinators who volunteered in the community, and so the way we find them is just asking. In fact, can I ask right now? Why don't I do that? If anybody out there is listening who really would like to be involved with in a key role in donating or getting food in your neighborhood to the food banks, please give us a call, or a little later we can put our websites on the air. And the important thing about the neighborhood coordinator is it takes about one hour a month, and you're responsible for bringing in at least 2 tons of food a year. And 2 tons of 2 tons of food is something around 1,700 meals, the equivalent of 1,700 meals. So for 12 hours, you can bring in about 1,700 meals.
That's pretty good return on investment.
That is a good return on investment. And we've got it worked out so that it's a very easy thing to do. And we do all the training. We give you all the materials. And obviously it works, because here we are talking about 1 million pounds of food. And we couldn't possibly have done that without all the amazing volunteers that we've had.
Now, do you give the food directly to pantries, or do you have any kind of individual routes that you do?
No, our job is strictly to act as a bridge between neighbors who want to help and the institutions, that is the food pantries, that distribute food to our hungry neighbors. Those groups are fantastic. They do a great job. They understand what they're doing. They're set up to do it. We don't want to get involved in reinventing the wheel. Our job simply is to understand that, you know, there's all these people like you and me who'd like to help out and just don't get around to it for one reason or another. And there's another part of it, which is food pantries get a lot of food at this time of year. And I encourage anyone who's listening who wants to help feed their hungry neighbors to go and be part of a food drive right now. I mean, there's a lot of really worthy ones. But January, February, April, June, the same people have to eat.
Right.
Our hungry neighbors are still hungry, and people are not as oriented towards giving food at that time. You know, we think of it in Thanksgiving and Christmas, but we don't think of it then. So the food project collects food year-round, every 2 months, and so we provide a steady supply of food to the food pantries. That's one of the really real positive things about it. It's also the idea that the community can help itself.
What are the foods that are appropriate or that you would recommend that people donate? What do you have a great need for?
Well, on all of our websites, there are there's a list of food that's most desired by the local food pantries. But the things that are always needed, for example, I know in Ashland they said recently that the thing they run out of first is cooking oil. Hmm. But they're always looking for protein, you know, tuna or canned chicken or something like that. Good whole wheat pasta. Whole grain pasta is important, marinara sauce or tomato sauce, cereal. When you're really struggling to keep your family together, you know, to feed your family, the idea of having cereal in the morning, which is cereal is very expensive, is really a treat. And it's a delicacy almost. And so to be able to provide that to families that can't afford it otherwise is really doing them a big favor. Now, favor's wrong. We know one of the things that we really stress here is that we're sharing food. We're not donating it.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, these are our neighbors. These are people who live around us, you know, people who sit next to us in class, people we walk by every day. And these are people who we'd like to help. You can't tell who they are by looking at them. And so food pantries are set up to be able to supply the food to those people. They know to get it. And so the better, the higher quality food we give them, the more we're really giving a gift. You know, these are our neighbors.
I was reading a little bit about the ambassador program, I believe it's called, that you have. Could you explain a little bit about what that is?
Well, you asked about recruiting. You know, I didn't want to get into it too specifically, but really the way that we recruit people to join the food project is very simple, because it's no magic bullet. You have to talk about it. And so one thing we do is you may see us in front of supermarkets with tables, you know, and stopping people going, hey, have you heard of the food project? Or people may come to your door and knock on it. We call it canvassing. But the third thing way to do it is what we're doing right now, which is to talk about it. And our ambassador program is we have designated speakers who go out and speak to Rotary clubs or churches. Or I spoke to the Soroptimists the other day. and explain just what we're talking about now, which is how it works and why it's important to be part of it. One thing you haven't asked, but inevitably people come to is, well, is there really a need in our community for that?
Right.
And of course, you know, as I say, these are not people that people who are hungry are not necessarily people walking around with a big sign that says I'm hungry on them. But as it happens, about 15% of the population of Jackson County, over 30,000 people. And I was talking to my friend Philip Yates, who runs the Access Nutrition Program, the other day, and he said he estimated about 35,000 people. And of that, one-third are kids.
Right.
These are people who struggle with hunger. They're not necessarily walking around, you know, starving or anything, but they're people who don't know whether or not they're going to have what they're going to eat for the next meal or if there will be a next meal. And there are so many of us who have more than we need. It just doesn't make sense, you know, if your heart is in that place, and so many of us feel that you shouldn't, you know, get involved in helping to share a little bit. And what the Food Project does is it makes it very easy, because all you do is when you go to the supermarket, you buy one extra thing each time, you put it in a bag, you put the bag outside your front door, and then somebody every 2 months will just come by and pick it up. You don't have to do that much, but you're really doing something important and making a difference.
And a reminder to those who participate, like myself, tomorrow is pickup day, isn't it?
That's right. Tomorrow is pickup day, and so get your green bag out there if you've got a green bag. If you don't have a green bag yet, you can go to neighborhoodfoodproject.com, and there's a checklist there of all the different food projects in the area, and you can click on one, click through, and it'll tell you how to get a hold of those people. It really makes a difference. It makes a difference to the people who give the food. It makes a difference to the people who collect the food. We all feel great about it. But, of course, it makes a huge difference to the food pantries and to the people who receive the food ultimately.
John Javden with us this morning talking about the Food Project. And if you have a question here on the Jefferson Exchange from our toll-free number anywhere, 800-838-3760. In the Rogue Valley, you can reach us at 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. We talked a little bit about, you know, we have this stereotype of the demographic of person who probably needs food, and they do. But in the last 3 or 4 years with the recession, have you seen quite a few people that would be, I don't know how you put it, in a non-traditional category as needing some food assistance?
Well, yeah. Well, that's well put, Milt. The number, it's something around 30 to 50%, and I'm not sure, you know, which it is because it depends on who you talk to, of the people who get food assistance, have at least one person working in their household. And there's more and more families that are seeking food. Folks at Access told me that they give out, there are less individual groups of boxes that they give out, but they give out more food because more and more people are living together. You know, families, vertical families are living together. So the people you would normally think could be able to afford food are finding that when transportation and heat and housing costs and other, you know, miscellaneous costs that are essential are added up, they just don't have enough money for food. And these are people who in the past we expected to be able to buy the food. So, yeah, I think there's about 80% of the people are either looking for work actively or have a job and or the family has a job and they still can't afford it.
Did a number of your volunteer coordinators start off as food donors? I mean, is that a good source for finding folks?
Yes, it is. Once you're involved with the Food Project, apparently because the turnover is so small, you know, people really like doing it. Of course, it's easy and it's satisfying because every time you give food, you get information back of that you've joined forces with other people in the community to make a real difference. You know, we're told all the time when we're kids about if everybody does a little bit, it adds up eventually.
Yes.
Well, in this case, it really does. You know, you give a bag of food that weighs 13 pounds and you find out that you're part of 60,000 pounds of food. And that's 60,000 pounds of food is something like 53,000 meals.
I would think that this would be like just an excellent program to get some young people involved in. Do you have like some groups that are doing that?
Yeah, good question. Well, just recently, Scout Troop Number 17 in Jacksonville went out and canvassed in Jacksonville and part of Medford and signed up 120-something new donors and 7 or 8 new neighborhood coordinators. You know, a neighborhood coordinator has average about 10, 12 donors. So that's the way it works. So every time you sign up a neighborhood coordinator, it's the same thing as signing up 12 donors. So they did a tremendous job, and that's an example. We're doing that with South now, too, in Medford.
We have a caller from Eugene. Dennis, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. Say, I have a question. The type of foods that I eat, like sweet potatoes and corn, and beans and rice and cabbage and beets and turnips and all kinds of greens, those are all cheap things to eat. They're all really healthy for you. But what I see going to the food banks is a lot of canned foods, processed foods that are really unhealthy. They're full of all kinds of stuff you're not supposed to eat. And I want to know how come there isn't more good food and a lot less of this other stuff. I mean, one time I was offered to buy 200 or 300 pounds of dried beans and a bunch of rice and different things to give to the food bank, and they didn't even want it. So I'm a little wondering what's going on.
All right. Can you address that, John?
Sure. There's actually raised a number of different questions. So first, let me say one thing about non-perishable food. Obviously, non-perishable food is not the same thing as fresh food, and it's important to get fresh food to people who you're trying to provide nutrition to. But just to address non-perishable, there is a certain group of non-perishable food, including beans, and as you suggested, that's really good for you. And there's a website called superfoods.org. I think that's what it is. It's Superfoods. You can go onto Google and check that out. It's an organization down in San Diego, and they have done a lot of research in finding out the best kind of non-perishable food. You know, they say that it doesn't cost more, but there's a huge difference in some of the nutrition. So I recommend that to you. As far as what food banks or food pantries take in terms of fresh food, more and more food pantries are trying to organize so that they can get fresh food. There are here in the Jackson County, there are several gardens. I know that they're working, and they're trying to expand the number of gardeners who will help out. They're looking at food deserts, trying to figure out how to get good food into the places that are otherwise just packaged food is available. So, I mean, it's a mix. Really, what you need is a mix of that. You know, non-perishable food lasts longer. We're a non-perishable food-oriented organization because people have their food sitting around for 2 months, and then we pick it up, and it goes to the food pantries. But a mix is important, and you're right to be sort of aware of that, and it's good to raise that question. But you should go directly to the food banks and talk about that with them, because maybe since you brought that up, they've changed their policies, because I know that they're really focused on it now.
I know a number of the food banks really are pushing that to try to get more fresh food, locally grown food in. And as you say, some of the food banks themselves, if you contact them directly, they can certainly help you with that.
Absolutely.
Efforts that you put in, you say largely volunteer. To go to a new tier, as this spreads across the country, is this going to reach the point where you have to have a little bit of overhead to manage it, or is this something that can stay grassroots as it spreads across the country?
Well, every time a food project opens up, it's a local food project, and that's created by volunteers, and the infrastructure is based on volunteers. We did create some software that enables them to run that. A really fantastic IT guy named Micah Cardillo in Phoenix, Oregon, created the software, and it enables them to have an infrastructure without paid staff.
We have a question from Wolfgang in Sunny Valley. Good morning.
Good morning. That's a wonderful subject. And Dennis from Eugene brought up had an implicit other problem, raised an implicit problem. People don't want these foods because they don't know how to cook them. So what my notion would be is, how about cooking classes? Because rice, beans, all this stuff is cheap, but people don't know how to do it.
We're in a fast food generation,
yeah.
Aren't we?
Yeah. Well, no, that Wolfgang, that's another good point. And of course, it's so obvious that the food pantries are tackling that also. There's a growing movement in the food pantries. And food banks, which are the larger groups that supply food to food pantries, to teach to have classes or to even bundle food together so that they get whole meals and then add recipes to them. But there's in Santa Barbara. I saw a documentary recently that they put together that shows how they're teaching their clients how to use the food, and the food, it's terribly inspiring. And so your point, just like the previous caller's point, is very good, and it's exactly the kind of thing that food banks are dealing with. And let me suggest, go volunteer at a food bank. They need your help. They need that kind of thinking.
And there are several, I know at least here in the Rogue Valley, several of the food banks are starting to offer those cooking classes, aren't they?
Yes, they are. In the distribution of food, the difference between a food pantry and a food bank is the difference between Access, which is a sort of a hub that distributes food to the smaller pantries, and then pantries are the local, sort of the retail outlets of this. And we deal with the food pantries. That's the food project brings food to the I think it's 21 different food pantries in Jackson County, and we try to provide the food that they want for their clients.
We have just a little bit of time left. Tell folks how they can get involved at whatever level they would like.
Well, the website that we'd like you to go to, sort of the clearinghouse website that'll enable you to go to the website of the local food project in your area, is neighborhoodfoodproject.com. Neighborhood Food Project is the name of our nonprofit, the 501c3, which is the umbrella organization. And so that'll take you to the Ashland Food Project, the Phoenix Food Project, the Talent Food Project, the Eagle Point Food Project, and the Medford Food Project. And again, if you've got a green bag, I want to remind you that tomorrow is the day. Put out your bag. If you haven't joined the food project yet, you know, this, go to our website, and it's a chance for you to join it. This time of year, there are a lot of great food drives. Be part of it. But when it comes to getting food to your neighbors at other times of year, join the food project. It'll make you feel good, and it'll make them feel good.
And by tomorrow, if you put that food out, you can be part of the million-pound club, can't
you? That's right. 1 million pounds of food. This county has joined forces to distribute one bag at a time, 1 million pounds of food. That's 833,000 meals, 15 miles of bags.
Wow, that's some good numbers. Well, John Davenant, thank you for being here this morning and discussing that. Coming up in our next half hour, we'll be talking about the Polar Express and an opportunity to get on board, literally, this weekend. We have coming up in just a few minutes, the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keeter. So stick around for that, and we'll be back with your phone calls right after that.